Hebrews chapter number 9. I don't know exactly how this is going to work today. A lot of teaching things in Hebrews. I don't know. Just ask the Lord to bless it and use it. But we know the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews, like the book of James was written to the 12 tribes of Israel, talking about the Jews again. And we know that there's a lot of misinformation, misunderstanding, craziness out there about the replacement theology and all that, and God's through the Jews. Well, God has given the Jews the book of Hebrews for the tribulation time, I believe. We'll see how that works too, but it's for us too, and we're going to look at that today, beginning in verse number 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and of a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it has no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves, the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now here we are looking at a book talking to the Jews, and we're looking at a more perfect sacrifice. He's talking to the Jews under the First Testament that God had commanded to do these particular sacrifices in this particular way, in this particular sanctuary. He had told them on a regular basis to make these sacrifices. And on an annual basis, for the high priest to go into the holiest of all and make a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for him and the people. And he says that the blood of bulls and goats and calves can't take away sin. They can't make one perfect to cleanse their conscience. But the blood of Jesus Christ can. So we read the book of Hebrews, and if we're not careful, we'll apply it all to us and maybe overlook some things. But this book is written to the Jews, and this book is written to wake Israel up. Excuse me. And it says in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ... He just went through the rituals and the things that he had appointed to the Jews. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what Israel's doing right now? Dead works. They're lost and they're trespassing in sin, and they're going through religious, traditional worship ceremonies. They've rejected their Messiah, and now they're serving dead works. So what's that have to do with us? That's what religion is. Religion is serving dead works. True religion and undefiled, we understand in the book of James, taking care of the fatherless and the widows, we understand that. But religion, to set up a system of works to try to justify yourself before God, is nothing but serving dead works. What are you doing it for? You're not doing it for God, you're doing it for the flesh. And if you're lost without Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you're serving a dead man. If you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the old man is judged dead, and you're alive in Christ. And if you're serving the old man, you're still serving the dead man. So there's nothing you can do to justify yourselves before God. It's all serving dead works. It's all going through religious system, and that's what the Jews are doing right now. And that's what God's going to use this book for. I believe wholeheartedly that the remnant of God is going to see this book of Hebrews, this book of James, the book of Matthew, and they're going to look at that, and they're going to realize they had crucified their Messiah. They're going to realize that the Antichrist is on the scene, and they better turn to God. But at verse 14, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what the Lord tried to do? His goal through the Old Testament was to keep His people, Israel, serving Him. And when they served Him, He gave them great victory. He gave them miraculous victories, victories that no man would have ever thought they had a chance to win, kind of like the Six-Day War, kind of like when all the countries around them and all the people around them are trying to wipe them out now, and they're still there. But He would give them an amazing victory, and they would get so caught up in the victory, they'd forget the victor. They'd forget the purpose. They'd forget the one that gave them the victory. They'd get so caught up in the blessing, they'd forget the blesser. They would take on the gods of the people they'd defeated, and they would set up systems outside of what He wanted them to do to worship these other gods. And you know what they were doing? Serving dead works. But He's trying to get them to turn to serve the living God. Most of religion today is just serving the old man, the dead man, and not serving the living God. Here we are talking about the sanctuary, and that priest, he would go in regularly, and take that blood into the sanctuary, and he would make an offering for sins. And then annually he'd take that blood, he'd get cleansed up, and he would take that blood, an offering for his sin and for the sins of the people. And God would either accept it or reject it. But let me tell you, friend, when Jesus Christ came, he was the sanctuary. He carried that blood to Calvary. And he poured it out on Calvary so he could offer it up to God the Father for an eternal sacrifice, an eternal atonement for sin. Praise the Lord, that's great for us. That's great for Israel too. Because all of Israel will be saved. Those true, the remnant will be saved. They're going to come through that tribulation time, and God's going to save that remnant of Israel, and he's going to give them the promise of the inheritance that he promised them in the Old Testament. And you have to throw the book of Hebrews and about a third of the rest of the New Testament out to not see that. So what about the Jews? God's through with the Jews. God's preaching to the Jews today through the book of Hebrews. Look at verse 19 again. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined you to." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Almost all things. You know who he's talking to, right? The Jews. Guess what wasn't purged by blood? Adultery and murder. Guess what David had committed? Adultery and murder. But he found favor in God's eyes because he had a heart after God. And God showed him the mercy and grace that he shows you and I. You say, I've had people over the years say, "You believe a murderer can go to heaven?" Absolutely. "Do you believe this, that, the other? You believe this person can go to heaven, that person can go to heaven?" Yeah, absolutely. How do you believe that? Why do I believe that? Because we have the sure mercies of David. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away or even cover or purge the sins or cleanse the conscience of an adulterer or a murderer. But you know what? There's a more perfect sacrifice. And a more excellent sacrifice. And a more permanent sacrifice. And a more potent sacrifice. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Here before long, we're going to hear our voice. We're going to get out of here. Today would be good. But this book, the book of Hebrews, is going to take on a meaning that nobody's ever really fully been able to wrap their heart and mind around when the Jews start reading it. And I believe there's a good chance, I don't know, maybe Moses will be preaching this book of Hebrews to them. Doesn't that make sense? He's the one that gave them the law. Here we've got Hebrews talking about a more excellent sacrifice, a more perfect sacrifice, a permanent sacrifice, a more potent sacrifice. We're looking at these sacrifices that they made in the Old Testament to keep them going for a while. And he's saying, hey, there's a better sacrifice, there was better bloodshed, and there's a better rest. You can enter into a permanent rest by trusting Jesus Christ. And they're going to take their right Messiah finally. Look at verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now that's for us, but it's also for the Jews. It's also for the Jews. You know what he said on Calvary? Forgive them, for they know not what they've done, and what they do. He was talking about the Jews. When he said it is finished, he was talking about all of us. Who was putting him on the tree? The religious leaders of the Jewish community. I know our sin did. I know he went willingly. But you see, these things when you study out the Old Testament, you look at the tabernacle, you look at the different ministry instruments, you look at the priesthood, you look at the specificity which God described the Old Testament tabernacle. Because when he was describing that, he was describing heaven. These are a pattern of things in the heavens. He was having them build things a specific way because it represented something. You know what the Aaronic priesthood represented? Their high priest represented Jesus Christ, and they didn't even know it. Their high priest would have to be cleansed to go into the holiest of all, or they wouldn't come back out on their own. They'd drag them back out by a rope that was tied around their leg. But see that veil that was rent from top to bottom, that God himself rent? The only reason he could rend that is because he had his precious blood handed back to him. His son died for him. His son, the high priest, the ultimate high priest that had no sin of his own, could go in without a veil. Didn't need a veil anymore. Because we're under the perfect blood of Jesus Christ to save folks. Now we can go boldly to the throne of grace. But that veil represented a separation from God in heaven by man's sins and iniquity. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered in the holy place every year with blood of others. Why? Because of verse 27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and in them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I know practically we can apply that to us, but I'm not a Hebrew. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ and the Jews. God's not through the Jews. You know what's going to happen? He that endureth to the end shall be saved. The Jews that endure the tribulation, the Jews that reject the mark, the Jews that reject falling down and worshiping the Antichrist, worshiping the beast, they reject those things. God's coming back, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and look what it says again, and unto them that look for him, verse 28, shall he appear the second time without sin and the salvation. You know what he came back the first time? To the Jews. You know, guess where he's coming back the second time and to who? He's coming back the second time on this earth to the Jews. We're going to meet him in the air. He's not going to come back and step on this earth for you and me. He's already done that. We're going to meet him in the air. When his foot hits the Mount of Olives, when his foot stands on the Mediterranean Sea, when he splits that thing wide open and it separates, when he comes back to rule and reign, he's coming back for the Jews. He's coming back to be the head of a Jewish kingdom that was promised in the Old Testament to the Jews. Amen, amen, and amen. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and in them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He come here the first time without sin. He took the sin of the world. He became sin for us and died on Calvary. And he's coming back without sin to save Israel, true Israel. I mean, you've got to have a head gasket blown and a push rod bent to not see that God's not through with Israel, amen? I mean, you need a compression check on your biblical understanding. You might want to have your transmission rebuilt, your tires retreaded, amen? Because God's not through with Israel. This whole book of Hebrews is dealing with Israel, 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 Israel. Now, I know there's stuff for us in there, and praise the Lord for it. I'm not discounting that, and I thank God that he gave us the whole Bible, every book, every jot, every tittle. I thank God for everything, Genesis 1, all the way over to the end of Revelation, that he gave it to us, and there's things in there that we can glean that will help us to live for him and love him and help us to understand him. But this book was written primarily to Israel. The book of Hebrews, James, primarily to Israel, Matthew, before Calvary, primarily to Israel. You've got to make a mess of things to say God's through with the Jews and start applying everything directly to us, doctrinally. God is not through with Israel. Again, I say, if God is through with Israel, then the devil won the battle over Israel. And the devil made God into a liar. That didn't happen, amen? Because God promised them an eternal kingdom. He promised them an eternal land. And I'll go a step further because the Bible talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And He's given them a new earth to Israel because of His precious Son and the blood He shed on Calvary. Because a Jew went to Calvary and died for the Jews, He's given the Jews a land He promised them for eternity. Say, well, God's through the Jews. The devil won. No, the devil didn't win. The devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever with the beast and the false prophet where they'd already been for 1,000 years. The first testament, the law was given, and it was dedicated with blood. We read that in verse 18 through verse 21. Moses sprinkled the blood, the book, on the people. He sprinkled on the tabernacle, on the vessels of the ministry, to purify. And then they had to continually be purified by the blood of bulls and goats, by the blood of animals. By the way, they're getting ready to slay that red heifer. I got a red marker for them. If that thing pops a white hair up, we're going to paint that. Amen? Let them get that red heifer going. But you know what they're doing? They're trying to purify. They're serving dead works. They're going to try to set that system up and get everything. The funny thing is, everything they haven't been doing since before they rejected Christ, they're going to try to do it all right. They're going to try to do it all right. And they're going to have it right. They're going to have it in the wrong dispensation. Because they've already rejected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but He's coming back. He's coming back. The reason we read the Old Testament, we look at the tabernacle and look at the knops and the tassels and all these things that it talks about, and you and I are going, what in the world? That makes my brain hurt. But you know what He's doing? He's talking to the Jews specifically about making a pattern of a heavenly thing. And when Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to understand all that. When He came the first time, like I said earlier, He wasn't looking to go into a tabernacle or a sanctuary and offer up the blood of bulls and goats. He is the sanctuary. He was the tabernacle. He tabernacled God with men. He walked this earth carrying that precious blood to Calvary so He could spill that blood on Calvary so you and I could have everlasting life, and He could purchase Israel back from the curse that is the curse that they ended under in Malachi. Wouldn't it be something if we're looking down from heaven? We're looking at our Lord, and He's on the white horse in front. We're on the white horses back here. Some of y'all have never rode a horse. You're going to be surprised you can ride one. You're going to be good at it. You see the horses' hooves start to stomp, start to snort. See the Lord's horse rear its head up. And we look down there, and there's a bunch of people out in the wilderness singing, "What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Wouldn't that be something? The Jews took one of our songs. Amen. And they're singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. And then He comes down. We come down there with Him. He splits through that atmosphere and comes down here. And then the horse hoofs hit that ground. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's a battle. The blood's running bridle deep. He takes the beast, the false prophet, casts him into a lake of fire, defeats all the devil and his enemy. And He takes the throne that He so rightly deserves and has paid for. And He rules and reigns for 1,000 years. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, righteous God on the throne. They shall be my people and I shall be their God. I'll dwell with them, they'll dwell with me. He's dwelling with them on the throne. And there's still people around the world that want to get rid of him. They don't want to come worship him. They don't want to keep the feast like they're supposed to. They'd rather suffer hunger and famine and drought and take their chances than to serve Jesus Christ. Isn't that like the world? They'd rather take a chance. I've heard people say that. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to live the way I want to live. If there is a hell, I guess I'm going there. See, do you really know what hell's like? Hop up in Luke 16 for a second. In torments, he lifted up his eyes, begging for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with some water. Where the fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not. Well, you know, I guess I'm just going to live the best I can. If I don't make it, I guess I don't make it. Well, I got a Bible that says you don't have to guess and you try to make it on your own. These things are written, you to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe in the name of the Son of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what the Jews need right now? They need Jesus. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they'll reject Him for a while. Most of them will reject Him. But there are going to be some that accept Him as their Messiah. And that's what we're looking at in the book of Hebrews. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know what they're going to look for? They're going to be in the wilderness. They're going to be by the brook Cherith. They're going to be running from the Antichrist. They've already seen God create that earthquake and that ground open up and swallow up the flood that the devil is trying to wash them out with. They've already seen that. They're looking for Jesus Christ. They already realize who He is. They've already accepted the fact that He's their Messiah. They're looking for Him. And guess what? He comes back without sin unto salvation. They're going to be saved. And then the devil's bound for 1,000 years. Why would God bind him and then let him go? Because He's given man every chance to choose to love Him. And at the end of 1,000 years, He's going to turn the devil loose. And those people that hated Christ are going to try to get against Christ again, against Jerusalem. And fire is going to come down from heaven and devour them. And they won't be able to say, "You're unjust. We didn't have a chance." He's going to say, "Look, I give you this dispensation. I give people this dispensation. I give people this dispensation and the church age where just trust my Son and He'll save you forever. And then I give you the tribulation time to turn you back to me. And then I give you a 1,000-year reign ruled with a rod of iron perfectly." And you rejected all of that. And then when the fire comes down and devours them, there's no guilt on God. For Christ is not entering into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now think about what that's saying, for us. I believe that He is our mediator. He's one mediator between man and God, God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our mediator. And I believe He's up there advocating for us. Amen. But I believe that us includes Israel too. I believe that He's telling the Father, our blood's on Him. But our blood's also going to save Him. I believe He's up there saying, they're going to turn back. And I know they're going to turn back. Could be like Moses. Father might be, well, it's like to wipe them out, start over again. And maybe the Lord's up there saying, wait a minute, remember we shed our blood on Calvary for the world and to purchase Israel back from the curse they were under in the Old Testament. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. His blood was shed for a new testament. There's a new arrangement between God and Israel, and it doesn't involve the blood of bulls and goats. God's not interested in the blood of bulls and goats. He's interested in the blood of His Son. And as is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I believe we can apply that to a rapture too. We're looking for him. We're going to see him. We're going to meet him in the air. But when he comes back and steps on this earth for salvation, it's the salvation of Israel. Salvation of Israel. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Our Calvinist friends will say, well, there he goes. He died for many, not for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He shed his blood for all, but he bore the sins of many, which is more than one. And you know what else? Everybody's not going to get saved. Could they? Yes, because he shed his blood for this entire mankind. But the sins of many of Israel are going to be paid for. That blood atonement's going to be accepted. And they're going to look for Jesus Christ. Isn't it sad today, because today over in Israel, what's going on and what has been going on since the 40s? I mean, ever since they got there, everybody's been trying to wipe them out. You know, it's like the devil's trying to get them together to wipe them out. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to get the United Nations, all these people together, and wipe them out later that are against Israel. But what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to, and somehow please God and set up their system of worship so they can justify God saving them from the enemy. And the only reason God's saving them from the enemy, well, there are two reasons, I believe. God is not a man that he should lie, and he promised them eternal promises. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed for them, he's already answered their problem of sin and a curse by shedding his blood on Calvary. They just haven't caught up with that yet. So when you're reading through the book of Hebrews and you're looking at all these things, praise the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're looking for him the second time to come back to meet him in the air. But the Jews are the ones they're talking about to meet. They're gonna look for him, and they're going to trust in him. And he's going to come back down and defeat their enemies once and for all for 1,000 years. And then once and all for all for eternity. At the end of that 1,000-year period. You know how he's going to do it? After the 1,000-year reign, the fire of his jealousy. Isn't that something? Because those people have their own gods. They have their own religion. They have their own beliefs. And our God's a jealous God. And he's not going to put up with that. He's going to wipe them out. He's going to wipe them out. New heaven, new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth pass away, right? I mean, this three earths, that's baloney. There's been one earth, there's going to be a new earth. That's easy math, right? But it's going to be a place that's described in as a place without sin and a place where God is in control. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the book of Hebrews.